Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
How faith enters into, which is a difficult subject right off the bat to grab a hold of, but scripturally it's true, that when you activate the faith system in your spirit, and the way that system is activated is by faith in Jesus Christ, what happens is it takes the dichotomy of man, which is mind, emotions, and will. And so you have the soul of man, and then you have the spirit of man. And the spirit of man is where everything comes from, spiritually operates, generates. Some people say it's the trichotomy. I said Sunday, and the trichotomy was, and I showed you that if the spirit of man was evil, then the mind, emotions, and will would operate the body of man, or the flesh. And so the evil spirit could actually, a dark spirit in a person, would actually do something, and it would be acted out in the body. Anger, hitting somebody, whatever. But when the spirit of Christ comes into the spirit of man, everything begins changing. And so following that logic from there, moving from there in scripture, what happens is the body then becomes an instrument of good, because the spirit is righteous and good, and it's telling the mind, emotions, and will how to function and operate. And the mind and the emotions and will start taking in things that grow the spirit. Still with me? And Lucia? And you've seen this in your life, I'm sure. You've seen it operate and function that way. I want to go over I've got a couple thoughts and passage of scripture, but I want to start with Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And if you'll go down with me to verse 12, we're going to move from there. Now, what I'm doing is I'm moving through this time when, if in Christ you accept Christ, how you move in your life and things change, and how you progressively grow in Jesus Christ by doing that. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, it's Paul speaking to the Philippian church. And someone just said he's doing a prison tour. And he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Then he says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I'm forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." Now, there's two things in this passage as I was looking at a future perspective. As we were looking, let's just say that today, hi gang, how's it going? I'd never embarrass you. Don't worry about a thing. Just keep smiling, keep walking, you know. Is there any Navy guys in here? Oh, okay. Well, a guy in the Navy told me one time that's what he did on the ship. They told him, just keep moving and look busy and you'll be okay. Nobody will bother you. So we got a lot of busy Navy people around. And that's what the champ here did when he was becoming the world champion weightlifter. He just kept busy. That's all. Kept pumping them irons and got him big. I'm looking at this from the perspective of you come to know Christ, and God wants us to become a disciple. We need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And some of you, you know, I hope I'm not preaching to the choir, because I know that many of you started following Christ years ago. And you've been working your way through this, and you've been following him. And I just want to kind of tell you a follow-up from Sunday. When we begin this relationship with Jesus Christ, a whole world is open to you and I, and changes, and good things begin to happen. Now, I'm not going to say that everything is going to be good, because that's false teaching. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. And we do have trouble. But I would rather walk with God than I would without him. So when we come to this particular passage, I'd read it the other day, and it just kind of struck me a little funny, because I have another illustration that my grandkids, if they were here, and probably if I asked for a show of hands of who have heard this illustration, you'd all raise your hands and you'd say, okay, that's enough, have prayer and we'll go home. But it was an illustration that if you stop and think about life's illustrations, there are many things that the scripture can pull out of your life. If you allow the Holy Spirit to begin working in your mind and your thought, one illustration could be applied 100 times or more if you let the Holy Spirit apply it. So in this particular passage that I just read, I was thinking of the time that I was just a young boy. I wasn't a Christian, and I was surfing in California at Newport Beach. And this one little girl, we had got caught in a riptide. Remember that story? And we were taking the riptide out because that's what young teenagers do, and we think it's fun, because all the tourists would come on the beach, and we knew that they didn't know how to get out of a riptide. And so we would have fun and just let it float us way out in the ocean. And then the shore patrol, if we got in real trouble, we knew they were always going to come by and try to rescue us. And when they come within 10 feet of us, it was kind of dirty. We would just kind of swim out of the undertow and head back to the shore. Like, you know. And we used to do that often. But this one time, we were floating out, cruising in the undertow. And riptides, you can call them, or the undertow. One goes down, one pulls you out. And there was a little girl there. I'm going to say she was 9, 10 years old, somewhere there. She was a tourist, and she got caught in this. And I happened to look over, and I saw her go down, and I saw her go down again. About the third time, I seen her start to go down. I thought, this girl's in trouble. So I swam over to her, and I reached out, and I grabbed her arm, and she reached out with her other arm, and she grabbed a hold of me. Now, you probably wonder, how in the world do I get anything out of this passage with that little girl? Well, I have to tell you, the good news is I got her up. She was almost choking, taking in a lot of water. Said, I'm here to help you. And I swam sideways. That's how you get out of a riptide. And I took her sideways, and then I took her into the shore, and Mom and Dad came and got her. But the apostle said, and I thought of that story, now, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, my friends, here's where I'm going to submit something to you. Jesus Christ reached out to me one day. I was drowning in the sea of life. I thought for sure I was going to go under for the last time. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm saying. But the good news here is, no matter what the situation or the circumstance is with us in the sea of life, remember this, that Jesus Christ reached out, and he's reaching out to you and your friends and others, and he's grabbing a hold of you, and he's pulling you in, and he's pulling you to safety, and he's pulling you to forgiveness, and he's pulling you to new life, and he's offering a safe rescue from the sea of sin that we all are in when we are born. Now, applying this here, hi, Judy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, you're just lovely. I can always tell. She's a sweet person, you know it. Do you have any more money? You want to pay me to say something else? No. Okay. You see, let's catch up with what I was talking about so that we understand the concept of faith. When by faith you and I welcome Jesus Christ into our lives, when we make him our personal Savior, we become a child of God. Now, I did say it Sunday, but I didn't really stress this point because that wasn't in the context of what I was talking about. But when we become a child of God, we also are being born again in our spirit. And our spirit, which doesn't know God, doesn't care about God, isn't obedient to God, becomes new. That's what Nicodemus did. That's what we're calling the born-again experience. So what happens is my spirit becomes new, and guess what? I become a member of Heritage Church. No, maybe afterwards. But the good news is I become a member of the family of God. You see, I have been adopted into the family of God. And now here's what happens. I begin having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now you may say, well, Pastor, okay, that's good, but what about that? Well, I want you to put on your thinking cap for just a moment. Think of it. You, a creature of the dust, that's all you are. You're just a speck. You're just a grain of sand in a great big ocean. All of a sudden, are given breath from the life-giving source, the creator of the universe. And you have found sonship with the Father. Imagine what that is. Your heavenly Father is now the one that loves you and cares for you and watches for you. And you begin, this is the beginning of ending up over here in Philippians, you begin this relationship with Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, what happens is God's marvelous Spirit begins to work in your mind and your emotions and your will through the Spirit of your heart, which is being filled daily by him. The neat thing about that is, as that begins filling up your heart, it begins to overflow. What happens is, guess what? You begin discovering the mind of Christ. Did you ever think of that? That through Christ, you would understand the mind of Christ, which, by the way, is the mind and will of the Father in heaven. And that's why sometimes when people say, well, I don't understand God's will, it's not too hard. Get a relationship stronger with Christ. And in a minute, I'm going to talk about how to do that. I mean, just imagine trusting God for your needs, trusting God for all of your cares. Remember what he said, cast your cares, right, on him? Trusting God is a privilege, a marvelous privilege that all of a sudden we have begun this wonderful relationship with him. And what happens is you begin to mature and grow in this relationship with Christ. Now, if you think about that, that's pretty exciting. Because a lot of us have to grow in that relationship because maybe there's some here that didn't have a good relationship on earth. But Jesus isn't like the fleshly, earthly relationship that maybe some people grew up with. He's a marvelous relationship. He loves us and cares for us and watches over us. And all of a sudden, all of our needs are supplied by him. And we begin growing in that full potential. And you may wonder tonight, how is this vital, growing relationship to be pursued? How do I follow it? How do I grow in this relationship with Christ? And the problem is that in the world, we're told the wrong way. We really are. You see, this relationship is to be pursued with certain tools that are available to me. And we need to employ those tools. But we too often employ the wrong tools because we're either told that or we've watched somebody do it. Here's the wrong tools. You don't grow in a relationship with Christ because you're rich. You don't grow because of the works that you do. You don't grow because you're the best preacher, you're the best teacher, or you're the best student in the class. You see, you don't grow, although Mary would say that for me, I was going to say you don't grow with good looks, but she would say, yes, I've really grown in Christ because of my good looks. And you go, I'm selling bridges tonight outside too. So the truth of the matter is your success in reaching your full potential in Christ is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Two resources, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. See, this is not just a book, although it is a book, but it's an inspired book. It's the words of God to you and I to help us reach that full potential in our spirit. And sometimes I love this word recently, and Carl and I have talked about, sometimes you're distracted. The world has a way of distracting us from being all that we can be to try to get us to believe that there's another way. That there's an easier path, because we do like the easy path, the least of road, of least resistance we want to go to. So we attempt to go the easy path, but the path is right here. And his burden is not heavy. It's not hard. It's right here. But we're told, you know, if you do this and you do that in the flesh, guess what? You're going to grow in Christ and everything's going to be great. And I don't know. In the flesh, we do submit to it, don't we? Years ago, I used to throw mail. See, I'm a pastor of many jobs. And Mary confirms that. But there was a reason for that. And I have to confess to you, the reason was when I was called, we were called to be missionaries. And when you're missionaries, sometimes you have to do whatever it takes to pay your bills. I mean, had we taken a church that was organized, that made $60,000, $70,000 a year, I don't know that anybody makes that. And that's just throwing that out there, although some TV preachers do make that kind of money. But the reality is, you learn that after a while, when you're conservative and you don't have a lot, you trust in God more and more and more to get you by. Someone told me the other day what they spend for groceries. I said, oh, boy, really? And I just didn't say anything because I thought, wow, that's astronomically wild. I mean, I said, well, you know, when we were in college, I paid $35 a week. Mary was so conservative, $35 a week would take us and all the kids and we'd feed them. Of course, you had a lot of tuna noodles, popcorn, you know. But you did what you had to do to survive and to get by. So the two sources of strength in the spirit, not in the flesh. And I grant you, if I were a weightlifter, there's other sources that gain your strength. But I'm talking about lifting your spirit and building your spirit. And the two sources are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Now, Ezra understood this. He practiced the Word of God regularly. The scripture said in Ezra 7:10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. Jeremiah had the same commitment. He committed himself to filling his life with God's word. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip tonight. You see, I don't like the guilt-driven church. I love the grace-given church. When I found Christ, it was by grace. It wasn't by guilt. Even if God imposed the guilt on me, it was still by grace that he gave it to me. But the guilt-driven church doesn't stand. It puts you on guilt, and then years later, you're carrying that guilt, and you're trying to work out your religion or your faith by guilt. But what Jeremiah did was, he said, thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words become for me, get this, a joy, and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You see, when you submit your life to Christ and you read the Word of God, I have to tell you, there's a joy that we need to have. There's an excitement in our life. There's something that's going on that even when hard times come, you're still going to find that peace that passes all understanding. That's something that we don't have when we're living in the flesh. Because the flesh is warring against the spirit all the time. If ye continue in my word, John the Gospel said, then are ye my disciples, and indeed you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So following that line of thought, what happens is we begin to grow in Christ, and the more that we grow into Christ and we receive the word, the more that our mind, that our emotions, and our will are guided by the Holy Spirit of God and by the word of God. So if you want to know more and live more and have the abundant life that Christ talks about, it's all found in the word of God through the Holy Spirit. You see, you don't need any real superficial excitement other than the joy of the Lord that's welling up within your soul and giving you peace and joy and understanding. Now, I don't know about you. That's just my personality. I get pretty excited when Michael plays some upbeat songs that talk about joy, because I relive the joy constantly, and the Holy Spirit reveals to me that there's more joy in here. And the reason that there's joy is that the Spirit of God wants to saturate your spirit. Saturate your spirit. He wants to fill your spirit. Why? Because your spirit is created in God's image, and it longs to be fulfilled. It wants to grow. And the word of God begins something in your system that is stronger than you can ever imagine or think. The word of God, whether it's spoken, whether it is heard, whether it just is accepted, it affects your spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to move within your spirit and things begin happening. My friends, miracles don't happen because you perform something in the flesh. But miracles happen because of the Spirit of God. And once your spirit is so full and he's so active in it, and you begin talking to our Father in heaven, many of the scripture passages that you have been taught since you grew up will come true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. We're talking spiritual things. The flesh says, oh, I mean, I didn't get a new car. It doesn't work that way. Your peace is important to God, and that's why he wants to fill your spirit. So in Philippians, moving back to there, chapter 3, verse 12, the first part of that verse, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, shows us that we have an inward purpose. Do you know that God created us for a purpose? Paul says, wait a minute, not that I've already attained it, but I'm working toward my purpose. Why? Because the Spirit of God is working in you, and your purpose is the first thing at hand. If you move along a little bit in verse 13, he says, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. You see, in verse 13, what he's saying is this, folks, begin looking ahead. In the sense of your eternal life, in the sense of fulfilling your purpose, in a sense of stop looking behind you. As a matter of fact, you know that Isaiah said, hey, don't look behind. Don't move behind. Stay ahead. Start looking ahead to the purpose that God has prepared you for. And what happens when you begin to look ahead? You begin to avoid what is behind. You see, when you're looking forward, past defeats are gone. Isn't it a bummer when you start thinking about, that's an old term for those young people here. Yeah. Isn't it a bummer when all of a sudden the enemy pulls you back into yesterday? When you start thinking about those woulda, coulda, shouldas, and those past defeats and those regrets that come on you so strongly, and God says, wait a minute, you don't live there anymore. You want to press on. That's what Paul said. I'm not looking back at those days. You know, Paul didn't have some good days, all good days. He had some bad days. I mean, come on. He was persecuting Jews and persecuting Christians, rather. And he was moving right along with his agenda had Christ not reached him and got a hold of him. And so he looks at it and he says, wait a minute. I'm not sitting around looking at yesterday, because guess what? There were defeats in yesterday, and some of you had those defeats, but I am pressing forward. And what happens? The defeats disappear. They're not relevant anymore. You can't change it. You can't do anything about past defeats. All you can do is learn and move forward. The other thing that takes place is this. You get free from past victories. You ever talk to somebody, all they talk about is yesterday? They got no victories today, no current victories. Everything was about yesterday. And they go on and on and on about the past victories. That's okay. Victories are to be expressed. But you remember victories for thankfulness and for hope and for those things that God has done for you. And you begin in your journey to move forward, as Paul says. And then in this same passage in verses 14 and 15, and I'll read them here, it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called the heavenward, called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Let us begin to look toward Christ for all of our needs, for everything that we have. We begin looking upward for the attainment that we are going to have in eternal life. Do you know, I'm telling you, I like living here. I don't want to go tomorrow. If you ask me if I'm ready to get on the bus, I'm ready, but I don't want to take the bus right now. One reason is you'd miss all my good illustrations. It's when Bill follow me. But I do long for the day when I will see Jesus. And I long for the day when I'm going to see my family and my loved ones and my friends. I do look upward for that attainment. You see, if you're going to live to be living and you want to look upward, you've got to live and not give up. Can't quit. I think many times Satan would try me, tempt me, move me in ways that I don't want to go or that I shouldn't go. And I have to keep the focus to look toward him. And the scripture says, let us not become weary in well-doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I begin looking toward Christ. Now, this is the journey that we're taking as a brand new babe in Christ. You come to know Christ. You say, Pastor, look, I'm growing. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower of Christ. I don't want to be a fan of Christ. There's a lot of fans out there. A follower makes a commitment. A fan's just along for the show. But I realize when you follow Jesus Christ, there's going to be things you're going to be committing to that are serious things, because you want to see others go the same path. And so what happens is we begin moving forward, and all of a sudden we realize that I have a place to look toward, and that's heaven. So the question tonight is simply this. Do you look forward to growing in Jesus Christ? And are you using the resources that he has given you? Now, in the old church, they called it conviction. Conviction might be this. You know what? I may need to pick this up more often. I may need to read the Bible more often. I may need to find a way that I can feed my soul, my spirit, my body with the Word of God. Over the years, what I found is that at a certain time of need, God will remind you of a scripture that will lift you up, that will encourage you, so that you're not looking back, you start looking heavenward, and you're going to see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. My friends, this is a lesson on feeding your spirit. It's the two resources that you and I have, because the Holy Spirit will feed your soul. I had a friend years ago that came to me, and I'll close. Obviously, I'm going to be brief tonight. A friend of mine came in the church, and they were a wonderful couple. In fact, we had the privilege of raising their kids. She is still around, and she's a blessed friend, and he is too. Their children were, one was like 6 weeks old, little Billy. She came to our church, and she was a Christian. She said, "Pastor Risen, do you know anybody that would take care of our children?" Mary and I said, "Well, give us a chance. We'll pray about it." And we took him in. And little Billy, who is now 20, what, Mary? You got
30 years.
Okay, 30 years old. He became, in a sense, our little guy. Mom worked as a private practice psychologist. Dad worked as a CEO of mental health facility. And those kids were with me every day. I say kids because they had another one later on, and we took the second one. And I'd go to the church, and I'd take him with me, and I'd take him into my office. And first of all, it was little Billy. Then it was Chrissy. But little Billy, he'd sit in his little car seat. He'd ride around with me. I could put him to sleep, man, in a heartbeat, go around the block. He'd be asleep, take him to the office. He'd sit on the floor. No problem at all. We were blessed with raising those children. And Christopher come along, and we did the same thing. We raised those children. And as I got to know the family real well, they came to church for years, and we became real good friends. The dad, Bill, said to me one day, we were in the church, and the church was empty, and we walked up to the communion table like this one here. Yeah. And we had, back then, you had the big old Bible sitting on the communion table, and it was open to the 23rd Psalm. And he got me up front, and he said, "Pastor, you see that verse right there?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I had a very unusual experience." I said, "What was it?" He said, "When my father died, I was, during the funeral, I went up, and there was a Bible like this up front, and I was looking at those words." Now, this is a person that was not real devout in the scripture, but he had religious teachings. And he said, that verse, and it was a verse in 23rd Psalm, and he pointed right to it. He said, that verse got bold, just like dark print, like it was just, I was looking at it in a magnifying glass. And he says, it was my father speaking to me through that verse. He said, "Could that possibly happen?" I said, "We serve a God who works through the word." That's what he does. And that word gave him so much encouragement that he gave his life to Christ and is still serving Christ, him and his family. And by God's wonderful grace, we raised them. Both of the boys became Eagle Scouts. Both of them, you know, became great with their education in college and graduated and are still there. I look at that and I say, well, Lord, how many people has that happened to? I bet you, and I won't ask you to do this, if I ask you to show hands tonight, there are some of you and probably many of you that the Word of God has boldly projected to you some marvelous truth, some marvelous hope, some marvelous encouragement. My friends, don't ignore this, because it is powerful, and the Holy Spirit works through it, and he feeds your spirit. It's the way that we get fed spiritually. And don't let the world suck you in and distract you and move you away from the bread of life. That's this. Let's have prayer tonight. And there were some needs. Anybody have a prayer request tonight that you just, before we pray, first of all, pray for Pastor Fry and his wife. They're having a good time, it looks like, out there, according to the pictures I'm seeing. And out to the Grand Canyon, right? That's where they're wandering around there. And pray for them. I know they need the relaxation. They need the getaway.
We need to pray for all the couples that are going on the cruise.
Okay, couples that are going on the cruise. Lift them up. Anybody else?
Lynn Bryant.
Oh, Lynn Bryant. Thank you. You were going to say that, weren't you, Shirley?
I was going to say Lynn and also Amy.
Amy, yes. Yes. Okay, big prayer list there.
Judy and Arnold Brandstetter.
Okay, Judy and Arnold.
Going over to Cleveland Clinic Friday about his Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. A lot of needs. Jack and Earl, yes. Have a big God. Okay, let's pray together. Father, these requests that have been made known, you knew them even before we uttered them, but we just wanted to confirm with you, Lord, that we are lifting them up and we're asking you to touch them. You've reminded us that we have not because you asked not, and many times we don't ask. And so tonight we do come and we ask, Lord, that you will touch these names physically, spiritually, those that are on the prayer list that come through the prayer chain that Mary sends out. Lord, you know those as well. We just ask our Heavenly Father, thy will be done, and that you would lift them up and encourage each and every one and their families in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow.
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the Red Brick Church in the Valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.